everyone. Welcome back to episode 3 of the New Awake Podcast. Today I'm here with
Yusuf.
And my name is David Castillo. So, huge thanks to Everstar AI for sponsoring today's episode. To our loyal watchers, you can see that Yusuf's in a little bit of a different setting today. So, you want to tell us a little bit about that, Yusuf?
Yeah. For our loyal viewers, you're noticing that I'm in a new setting. I moved into my MIT dorm a few days ago. I'm about to start my new semester here, my sophomore year at MIT. Super excited, and this new background is what you guys will be seeing from now on. It's my new abode that I will
awesome.
Be recording in.
Yeah, it looks pretty roomy in there. I wish my dorm was like that.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to live in my chapter house, so I'll be sharing this room with one of my roommates, one of my really good friends from last year, so it's a blessing.
Awesome. So yeah, speaking about MIT, I want to open up today's podcast with talking about a recent MIT report that recently came out about how 95% of AI pilots at companies are failing. 95%. That number is ridiculous to me. So I was doing some research, read the article, and it turns out that the reason these pilots are failing isn't because AI is necessarily bad. We all know AI can do amazing things. But because the focus of these pilots are honestly not focused at all. So for those that don't know, a pilot at these respective companies is just like sort of like a testing the water situation in which companies want to see what capabilities AI have for their respective industries. So those companies that are failing are just trying to do too much with the AI. I was researching and I found out that one of the companies that failed was a company that was trying to use AI for marketing. Now, we all know that AI generates images and generates some awesome images. It can create things that would take years, maybe sometimes, for people to manage before. But what I've realized is that a lot of these images are very generic. I'm sure that we've all seen those generic ChatGPT images, and they're easy to tell apart. So people that are trying to use these images for marketing are ultimately failing because the human energy, the human art, the human creativity isn't there. So that company that was trying to release a pilot for their marketing team ultimately failed. Now, another team that failed was a fintech firm that was trying to use AI to engage with customers. So sort of like a customer service chatbot. Now, we all know that for customer service, you directly need somebody there to be able to understand the issue, to be able to relay the message to whoever needs that message, and to help out the customer who's struggling, you know? And having an AI do that can be good for really basic problems like login issues and stuff like that. But if the problem is bigger and it needs to get escalated to the next person, then the AI became useless. So that also failed. Yeah. And I was curious about that like last 5% because I was like, okay, 95% are failing. That sounds bad, but like what about the last 5%? And that last 5% actually comes from a company using their AI pilot to do a lot of back-end processing things like vendor payments, like customer contacts, things like that, which is just simple data entry. And I was thinking to myself, like, all right, so if you need a brain to do something, and if you need a human creative brain to be able to do something, then the AI, as we all know, is not really good at that. But if you need data entry, if you need simple, like, input this, output this, I feel like the agent, the co-pilot will be really useful to do that, you know? And it just goes to show that I feel like as people, especially companies who are trying to just have so much growth so quickly, you know, just trying to jump on that hype train of AI, we want the AI to do things that honestly isn't capable right now. We want the AI to be able to run these massive marketing campaigns, to have millions of customer contacts and solve all these problems for your company. And honestly, it's just not possible right now. And it's a little bit discouraging because people wanted to do so much and they're like, okay, let's work on this AI. Let's fire these people because the AI can do it. And companies are just jumping straight into it. They're investing a lot of manpower, a lot of money, a lot of time into it. And some people are unfortunately losing their jobs and others are even terrified that they are going to lose their jobs. And it seems to me that those who are losing their jobs, those who are scared of losing their jobs, are scared for no reason because ultimately AI isn't at a stage in which companies can just jump right into firing half of their workforce for AI adoption, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny that you bring up this study because I'm actually familiar with it, the MIT study. And I know, like, it draws from something like, what, like 300 AI enterprise deployments. It's like 350 workers at these companies. Like, they surveyed them. And I think it's like over 100 like leadership interviews. So like, it's definitely like a broad like source of information where like all this is coming from about like how most of these like AI pilots are like pretty defective at companies. And then like also like something you were talking about is like as a tool for like individual use, like AI is actually like really helpful, like for students, for educators, for just people working. Like AI is pretty intelligent, pretty smart. Like you type to ChatGPT like any problem you have and it'll be able to like walk you through it, help you solve it. You type to ChatGPT, oh, like I need help with this, or I need recommendations for like, I don't know, a dinner restaurant or like somewhere to go, and it'll find it for you. It's like really good at doing things like that, like individual purposes. The big thing with like implementing it into like technology is like what firms like to call a learning gap. So we know that AI is intelligent for individual use, but when you try to like put it into a work environment, it struggles because like that's not really what it was made for, like by the devs. Like you throw like a bunch of these like large data sets at it and tell it to do like this exactly repeated times, and it'll get some stuff wrong because like of maybe like hallucinations, or it's accessing like data from the wrong place, or it's just maybe just insecure. While when you tell it to like do something for you personally, it just starts yapping to you. It'll find something on the internet and just start, give that back to you. Yeah. So that's really kind of what the big problem here is with implementing AI into these like bigger companies, is that it doesn't know how to work in a work environment compared to how it knows how to work for you as yourself. As we see like things like this happening, like you said that a lot of these companies are just firing the people that work for them because AI is just easily able to replace their job. Now, the problem with that is like, you know, we're seeing that in these companies, like the AI is actually not that useful. The study said that it was only like 5% effective. 95% of the pilots are just like completely not doing what they're supposed to at these companies. So, I mean, it's pretty scary to think about that. Like, you know, if only 5% of them are actually working, and we're just laying off like thousands of people every day from like these super top tech companies because we're just using AI to replace them. It's like, you know, how much like of this is like really like a hype train, right? Like, every day we're hearing some new news about AI. AI is like going to change the world. AI is completely erasing the need for using humans to do this or that. But like at the same time, like while AI is like really good at doing some certain stuff, like if we're just continuously like investing so much into it, so much time into it, developing it, but then we're not getting the product that we expect while we're firing all these people, like, you know, like what's really going to happen there? Like, I'm sure people would be able to do the job. Maybe it would take longer. Maybe it would be harder. A lot of more brainstorming and troubleshooting. But if AI just can't do it and we're firing them, then, you know, that really raises the question of, like, you know, like, how viable is it to, like, fully transform our workplace into including AI?
Yeah, I feel like it all goes back to human judgment, though, because as humans, we should have the judgment capability of determining, like, is a machine really going to be able to do this instead of a person? And it reminds me of the story I was reading on Reddit of, like, it was a comment on actually the MIT report I was reading. And they were like, someone on my team, a really senior level like engineer, spent an entire day vibe coding, talking to the AI back and forth, trying to solve a really simple problem. And at the end of the day, they ended up quitting that like problem they were trying to solve, and they outsourced this to somebody else on the team. And the guy was frustrated because it was a simple 30-second API search on the problem that they were trying to solve. The AI was just running circles with the engineer time and time again, but that person had just turned off their brain. You know, they weren't using their judgment capabilities. They weren't like, wait a minute, I know how to solve this, you know? And they were just relying on the AI. And I feel like on a grander scale, it becomes more dangerous because companies want to jump on that hype train. They don't want to fall behind. They want to make sure that they're using all the latest innovations in AI. They want to pilot everything, but they're not really thinking, wait a minute, is AI really that much better than just the person, you know?
Yeah, I really want to, now that you say that, it just reminded me of something. I really want to dive into that point, you know? I'm a student here at MIT. I'm studying computer science. I've seen a lot of people who are like interning at like these big tech companies doing like software engineering, whether it be at a startup or a big company. And like, I'm also in a fraternity. So like, you know, I talk to like people who are like higher up in their education, like maybe in their junior year, senior year interning at like larger companies doing software engineering, even just recent grads, maybe like grads from last year who are now like full-time at a company. And one thing I would really say that just resonated with me is that like a big piece of advice that they give like us, like younger CS students, is that you shouldn't be reliant on AI. Like AI is amazing at coding, but is that when you go to the workplace now and you're using AI like on a day-to-day, which is like honestly what is expected. Like, you know, these big companies, they know that AI is just so much more quicker, so much more helpful to do these coding projects. But let's say you have a bug. There's a joke, like ongoing joke now, that like C students don't actually know how to code. That like the most important thing you can do as a CS student is learn how to code instead of just using AI. Like a seasoned developer who's like been at like that big tech company for like maybe like 10 years, he got his CS degree before AI was like a big thing. He'll when he's encountering a bug, like he'll go back and backtrack and like actually know how to fix the bug. While these new developers, like these new guys that have been using AI throughout their entire time at college, like learning how to do it, like although it's like very good for like experimenting, like asking you questions, and it can get you the right answer a lot of the time, when they find a bug, these new devs, they don't know how to go back and backtrack and troubleshoot how to fix that. They'll ask the AI, oh, ChatGPT, where's the bug? Find it for me and fix it. And then when the AI can't do it, like you just said, they're going back in circles. Like the AI is saying that this is the problem when it's not really the problem, and it's continuously trying to fix something that's not even the right issue. So this is where it comes down to, like learning how to code and being reliant on AI can go hand in hand, but at the same time, like it could also like hurt you in the long run. Like AI is like constantly hallucinating and like having, it's not 100% perfect is what I'm trying to say, that it might not always give you the right answer.
Definitely, we all know that. But I feel like a lot of the culprits who are trying to paint AI as the, honestly, well, it is the next big thing, but they're trying to paint it as the messiah almost, like the messiah to all these industries, you know? And it's just really disillusioning to see these kinds of things happening. And even with ChatGPT-5 coming out, people were really upset, you know? It took 2 years between GPT-4 and GPT-5, and they're like, this sucks, it's terrible, it wasn't that big of an upgrade, it was a diminishing thing, like it wasn't really that good, you know. And for it to take 2 years to develop, people were expecting a lot. And to be fair, Sam Altman and the OpenAI team were presenting it as the next huge thing with OpenAI and ChatGPT, you know. And today I read that Sam Altman is already saying, don't worry guys, GPT-6 is already coming out, don't worry. And it just goes to show, like, a lot of the people who are at fault are these AI companies, you know, because at the end of the day, it's all about money. They want to make sure that people are consuming their product. They want to make sure that people are plugged into the next big thing. And they want to present their product as the next big thing. And it turns out that, you know what? It might not be the next big thing. It might be the next big thing in the next 5 years, in the next 6 years. But presenting it as such is holding so many people back because they want to believe in it. They want to jump on that hype train. But if they jump on that hype train, then they're going to risk falling off. And it's really sad to see that people are just diving into something and not really thinking about the past or the future in terms of technological innovations, and are hyped about this one thing in this given point in time and don't really judge, you know. They're not using those judgment capabilities that we have as humans.
No, 100%. Honestly, like, you know, like we see that with GPT-5, like you said, like it didn't turn out to be as good as people expected. Like DeepSeek just launched a new model and it actually outperformed GPT-5 on a bunch of stuff. I don't know the specific benchmark metrics, but
man, the Chinese competitors are gonna take over the world, man.
Like that was all I was gonna say. Like I don't know the specific benchmark metrics, but there's a lot of new AIs that are like very competitive. Like there's Claude, there's Gemini, GPT, DeepSeek, whatever the model is, right? Like ChatGPT isn't the only like big AI now. That's what I'm trying to say. That it's a competitive space, and like these companies, they're marketing like OpenAI is marketing GPT-5 as like the new messiah, right? It came out, people are trying it, and it's like not as good as what they expected. Not to say that it isn't good, it just isn't what people expected, or as good as it was advertised to be. Which kind of brings me to this point that I wanted to like really cover in this episode, of like, how AI is, it is the future. I agree with that. But the question really is just like, to what extent are we going to see that, to see that future that we're all imagining come true in a timely aspect? Like this entire thing that, when planning out this episode, it just made me think back to like, let's say like 2020 COVID time, me and you were both freshmen in high school. And we were home. Yeah. And, like around this time, like it was like people were investing in stocks, the market, like people weren't working. So they were just trying anything
to make money. Trying to see how you can make some extra money.
Make some money, right? Yeah. So like there was the AMC and GameStop pump and dumps. I know my dad made some money on that and he was telling me to invest in it. But, you know, at this time I was more interested in like what was like really hype or like what was like really like viral. And I remember looking at NFTs. Like I seen all these celebrity buy these little NFTs with like little monkeys on it, and they're claiming like, oh, I own this. And like all the comments are like, ha ha ha, like they have a little screenshot and they're like, oh no, you don't own it, I do, right? Because they own it like virtually or whatever. And then there's like there was like cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin was like really big at that time. I remember like I was messing around investing in Dogecoin and things like that. And like I pulled up some metrics here, like for example, like NFTs, right? In 2021, they were about $2.9 billion worth of volume of investments in NFTs. By 2024, just shy of 200 million. And then by 2025, quarter one, less than 25 million. So that is over a 90% decrease in the amount of volume shares owned of NFTs. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Back in 2020, 2021, they were the biggest thing ever. All your favorite influencers, all your favorite YouTubers, singers, everybody. All the famous people, they're buying NFTs, they're posting on their Twitter, oh, look at this, I have this. By 2025, nobody owns an NFT. That it sounds ancient to us when we say, oh, you remember NFTs,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's crazy how, like, these new things in the tech world, like, they become so hype, but they can also die so quick. Like another example is, like, the metaverse. It was, like, this, like, it was invented that it was, like, this VR thing that you could go and you could experience, like, all these different worlds. And you could buy like virtual like properties, real estate. That's right. You could buy like virtual real estate and go explore all these different places with the VR headset. And it was expected to like blow up. Like people were gonna like Meta thought people were gonna love this. And
Meta changed their name from Facebook to Meta.
Exactly.
That was
exactly
their
whole
metaverse.
Exactly. For example, like. They bet on the fact that, you know, like as tech is advancing, like people are going to want to be more interested in like this virtual escapade, this virtual world, want this virtual real estate. And it didn't actually like appeal that much as they thought it would. People didn't go for it as much. And what ended up happening is that like now, like you don't really hear much about the metaverse, right? Like it's no longer as popular as it once was because people were expecting something way better than the product that it actually ended up being. The same thing with NFTs. The same thing with cryptocurrency. People are seeing that, oh, there's like this cheap crypto, and all I know is that, oh, crypto's blowing up, crypto's the future. You see Bitcoin blow up and you think that all these little cryptos like are gonna be the next big thing. You invest your money and then you lose it, you know? Like there's a lot of people following these hype trains when it comes to tech. Like even for me, like for example, like, you know, GPT-5 came out, it was a little bit underwhelming. This MIT study comes out, and they're telling us that AI pilots are definitely underwhelming. Only 5% of them are doing what they're supposed to. Like, I like to invest in stocks. I'm invested in Microsoft, Oracle, NVIDIA. And last week, you know, as all these different, like, benchmarks are coming out about how these new AIs are not, like, performing as well as they should, investors are, they're becoming, they're not, like, very confident in investing in, like, the future of AI as much now. All these stocks, they tanked. I lost my money, but I got out before it was too bad. But
that's good.
Just to say, like, I mean, like, everything now is, like, people are following these hype trends. And the biggest thing I'm trying to say about AI is that, like, you know, I 100% agree that AI is the future. But the question is just, like, so how quickly are we going to see that future that we're all imagining, that, like, fully life-changing future? Are we going to see that come to life?
That... I feel like there's an important distinction to make there, though. I feel like these ideas aren't necessarily bad, you know, like NFTs, the metaverse, like crypto, stuff like that. They're not bad, you know, they're successful. Crypto is still incredibly successful. And even though NFTs are 90% decrease to what they used to be, and the metaverse isn't being developed as actively as it was, I feel like these are great ideas. You know, we want to level up to the next stage of the internet. We want to do everything that these science fiction books do, like Ready Player One. Like, there's this show called Sword Art Online where people just put their consciousness into the video game. Like, we want to do those kinds of things. But I feel like what's going on is that companies like Meta and different celebrities and different influencers who are promoting these things, who were promoting them back then, they fail to realize that technology, even though it appears to move fast, it doesn't move as fast as you think it does. You know, take the internet, for example. The internet has been around for roughly 50 years. When it first came out, it was really basic. I wasn't alive. You weren't alive. A lot of the people who are on the internet right now weren't alive, you know. And for it to get to the stage that it is right now, it took a lot of work, you know. It started off as just basic communications between people who had computers. Then it evolved eventually, and it came to a stage where if your company didn't have a website, you were completely eradicated, you know. It created a whole new industry. And I feel like it's similar to AI, you know. If your company isn't using AI, you feel like your company's going to fall behind, you know. And, you know, sometimes it does happen. Like, for example, when the internet came out, travel agencies, most of them were completely wiped out, you know, because you can just go on the internet, book something, call it a day, you get on that flight, you're out of there. There was no need for a middleman anymore. And that is where AI is headed, you know. But look at it. It took how many years for us to be able to get apps on our mobile phone? We started off with calculators, with clocks, with stuff like that. Now we have Google. You have like complete encyclopedias and something that doesn't even weigh 2 pounds in your hand. It's incredible to think about, but at the same time, it didn't happen overnight. And how long has AI been out? Maybe since 2020, a little bit before, if we're being generous. AI as an idea has been around for a long time, but as a concept and actively like engaging with it, it has not been around for that long. And as we develop it and as different competitors come out and people try to one-up each other, yeah, it's going to develop faster. But me personally, I don't think that the future that some of us are excited or some of us are scared about, in which AI takes over the world, I don't think that's going to be there yet. Like, for example, Metaverse, you mentioned it. We're essentially Sims in our own little like internet, you know. Like, we want to engage within the virtual world. We want to put that VR on and act like we're inside a different world, you know. That's an amazing idea. I would love to do that. But that hype train died down because it wasn't as innovative as they were presenting it to be. It was very basic concept. You would hop on, you would spend a bunch of money, and you would have quote-unquote digital land, which is a great idea, you know. Again, like, the science fiction book do it, they mention it, you would like to engage in it, but when you're actively doing it, the technology isn't there for it to be that exciting, you know. So people were disillusioned. A lot of them quit. A lot of them sold their NFTs. Some people still have their NFTs, and you know what? Maybe one day there's going to be an NFT that's going to be treated like the Mona Lisa, you know. And I believe that that's the case. Maybe in 100 years, maybe 60, maybe 50, that's going to be the case. But the way that companies are treating AI right now, I feel like it's honestly really irresponsible. Everybody wants to get on that train. Everybody wants to use AI. It's no longer, hey, do it yourself. It's, hey, why don't you have the AI do it, you know? And as we all know, not only are these things failing, but it's incredibly unsafe for these companies to do that. It's unsafe to be firing all these employees just for the AI to fail, and then you have all this work backed up. But it's also unsafe because there aren't that many regulations for AI, you know? AI is really, really dangerous for breaches, you know, prompt injections. There's always these different kind of malware groups trying to figure out how to hack into your company, how to breach. You know, there's a breach every day. It's horrible. And if companies are just pushing and pushing and pushing for AI and not thinking about purpose, they're not thinking about safety, it's eventually going to hurt them, you know. I feel like it's better for companies to do it slowly than try to do it fast just to keep up with what's being presented to them, just to keep up with what Sam Altman is saying or Mark Zuckerberg is saying about what the next AI development is going to be. I feel like it's being treated as a race when in reality it's just a marathon, you know. It's not a sprint.
100%. I mean, yeah, just to really just, like, you know, like, circle back to some of the ideas you said, you know, as we finish up this episode here. You know, AI isn't a bust. It isn't a bust. But really just, like, expecting, like, these quick, life-changing returns overnight. It's just not going to happen. Like AI blew up really fast because of like how fast it was changing, how fast it was advancing. But like now that we have a really good product with AI, we want to turn it into the next best thing, right? Mm-hmm. So now we have the product and we want to advance it even more to like really just change our lives, which is where, which is kind of like where we're going right now. And that's not, it's not going to happen overnight. Like you said, with the apps, with like phones, all of that. We started off with calculators and clocks, and now we have full on video games. Like I have any video game I want on my phone. I can watch movies. I can watch videos. I can do anything on my phone now.
Imagine,
right?
Imagine telling your grandma that when she was our age, that you're going to have a device that you can do anything you want on it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. And then like, honestly, just like going back to this idea of like the hype trains, right? Like, you know, like not every hype train is just going to automatically be the future. Like, they're amazing ideas, like you said, but like we just got to make sure like we're looking at how they're presented and really what the return product is. Like a lot of the reason like why they're failing is because like they don't match what they were advertised to be. Like I said, like with like investing in stocks, like I thought I was investing in the future. Turns out the future wasn't even here quite yet. You know? And then honestly, like just like for like something little for the viewers, like, you know, as we look at all these different hype trains that are, you know, coming and going, like not even just your money, like your ideas, your time, like whatever you're investing into these ideas, like you want to make sure that it's something that is real, is deployable, not just something that, you know, like you're seeing that could be a potential dream or potential future, something that you could really see being real and like really changing the world in the future. But yeah, it was an amazing third episode. We love talking about
thank you for that conclusion. Like, that's really great.
About AI and how it's really advancing here. Honestly, just like what it really means to for these hype trains to come and go. What's the new big thing and whether it's going to be a success or a failure.
What's the new wave, if you must?
Yeah, what's the new wave? Anything to add, David?
Yeah, just a huge thanks to Avistar for sponsoring this episode. And thanks to you, our viewers and listeners. Make sure to comment. Make sure to share. Tune into our next episode. Really grateful to have you guys. Really grateful to be building this podcast and just to have a platform where we're talking about the new wave, the next big thing, you know, reflecting and thinking about it critically with our judgmental minds, with our human minds, not AI minds. So thanks a lot for tuning in.
All right. One more thanks to Avistar AI. Thank you for sponsoring this episode, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.